escape to the metaverse. But act like you know. You are now tuned into the Matthew and Rizzo show. Yeah, escape to the metaverse. Better act like you know. You are now tuned into the Matthew and Rizzo show. Yeah. Escape to the metaverse. Better act like you know.
Okay, Azeem, welcome to the Matthew and Rizzo Show.
Thank you very much for having me, guys.
Yeah, and well, really enjoyed our conversation about jet lag earlier before we started recording. I'm really, really excited to get to know you a little bit more, sort of your background, what brought you into crypto and NFT land. And then, of course, really excited to unpack everything that you're doing with Pollinate.
Yeah, absolutely. So, how... crypto is an interesting thing for me, having gotten into it it's been more than a couple of years, actually. Back in 2013, when it was trading at like $100, my friends and I thought it would be an easy way to make some good money. And so started buying and selling it when it was doing that like 100 to 1000 amount. And I thought I was like making a killing because we went and bought like a bunch of Bitcoin and it went up to like 1000 and we were super excited, but dropped back down and it was like, okay, cool. Time to sell. Looking back at Coinbase transactions still always hurts. And then in 2014, sort of as a joke, I tried launching something called Kim Coindashian. And I just made like a Twitter page and I made like a splash page for it. And I ended up reaching out to the press. And so Newsweek covered us. Crypto Coin News covered us. the Daily Dot covered us. This website in Australia called Crikey covered us. And looking back at my interviews from 2014, I was talking about what people are saying when it comes to social tokens today, where I was like, you know, if the Dallas Mavericks adopted this, it could be like a next generation type of fan club. Or if Kim Kardashian actually uses this, we would be able to bring together two parallel worlds of cryptocurrency and mainstream popularity that don't get a chance to intersect. But there's some really interesting ways to do it. And looking back at those interviews from 2014, I was just like, holy shit, I was actually like completely on it. Even though, if I'm completely honest, it was sort of like just a huge joke that was based off of, I don't know if you guys remember Kanye West.
Yes.
That had the whole like,
he got gay pissed, right? He squashed it.
He was super pissed. And it was because they also used that like South Park gay fish, like as the coin, you know, like when Kanye didn't get the joke of like, do you like fish dicks? Are you a gay fish? And so after that happened, I was like, wait, like this would be a perfect opportunity to like just sort of piggyback off the press of Kanye West and like start reaching out to press and talking about it. And then it did actually pretty well. I ended up having to shut it down. And honestly, I had no idea how I was going to launch a coin, to be perfectly honest. I was just like, this is a cool, funny marketing meme, basically. And it did well, but it's not like Ethereum didn't even exist then. So I couldn't even make like an ERC-20 token. But after that happened, I was like, oh, like I'm really interested in this space. And during that time, I was in the tech space. I was writing with the Huffington Post, interviewing hip hop artists for fun, building relationships in the space. As the years went on to 2017, I got involved in like a couple random projects, most of which ended up just being like complete bullshit, but speak a little bit in what was going on in the space. So I've always just like, I've stayed into it, been interested by it for years now. But this past year was when I was like, you know what, it's time to fully get into it. In 2019, I tried raising money for a blockchain-based gaming studio. And I wanted the first game to be Super Smash Brothers meets rappers, influencers, basketball players, things like that. And I wanted all of the content in the game that would be able to be downloaded to all be NFTs to utilize everything everyone's talking about now with smart contracts and like what OpenSea was doing and things like that. Like I actually had been speaking to OpenSea back then about trying to work with them, but just everyone thought I was insane. And I talked to Andreessen Horowitz, I talked to angel investors, I talked to Balaji. Like I couldn't get anyone to give me a dollar. But, you know, just kept sort of plugging away at it. My interest throughout the years has always been, how can I bring all the relationships I've built in the entertainment world into crypto in a way that's authentic, the authentic part being the most important one. And so things just kept not happening, but I kept plugging away. And then this past year, I had a really interesting opportunity placed in front of me with Pollinate, which is what I ended up being like, you know what? It's time to jump into this like Web3 crypto world, blockchain, whatever, and jump into it in full time and not look back.
Dude, that's a great lead-up story. Yeah, go ahead, Matt.
No, totally. Dude, Rizzle, take it.
Yeah, no, it's always fascinating, man, how people sort of like ended up, you know, where they are now. And I feel like, you know, a lot of us ended up in the same spot where, you know, we were, you know, sort of halfway into it for a long time and then decided to like take the plunge and try and weave some of the things from like our previous lives or like, you know, previous passions into, you know, the context of what we're doing now. So, dude, I found Pollinate fascinating as well, which is, you know, one of the reasons why we ended up talking in the first place. So we'd love to hear like, you know, your take on the project and, you know, sort of like what Matt said, just unpacking how the whole thing works.
Yeah, man, absolutely. So I was at Aglet last year after I was unable to raise money for this gaming studio. One of the angel investors I had spoken to at the time was like, you know, you're early for me and this project is early, but I invested in a company that I think would be interesting for you to chat with. And it was basically Pokemon Go for sneakerheads, where you would earn in-game currency for taking steps in the real world. And you would wear skins that were, you know, digital sneakers in this game. And so I joined them as head of growth and partnerships. You know, we got introduced. It was like, you know, oh, your background is perfect for us. Like, let's do this. And the last year, I helped run media for us too when I was with them and got into Forbes and TechCrunch, both Business Insider, High Stability, all those things, and did partnerships with Stadium Goods and Gucci. And throughout it, while I was with them, it was just like, man, like crypto. This needs to be NFTs. This needs to be NFTs. And it didn't end up working out, but I had spoken with a company for a potential business development thing that we didn't end up doing with Terra Virtua, an NFT marketplace. And so I ended up leaving Aglet this past January. And after that happened, I was just sort of like, you know what? I want to see what I could do in the crypto space, basically. And Terra Virtua is one of the people that I reached out to afterwards. And you know, I was like, you know, I'd love to work with you guys. I've seen what you guys have done with Pacific Rim and like Godzilla and all that kind of stuff. Like, this could be cool. And during this time, just a couple of weeks after I left Aglet, which seemed like a really dumb decision at the time, because last year they raised like $7 million while I was with them, this whole NFT world just like fully blew up. Like, it's when like everyone went crazy for NFTs. And so all of a sudden, I had people from years ago that told me I was crazy reaching out, and constant conversations and different consulting projects where honestly people just wanted to understand what an NFT was. But in the midst of all this, when speaking to Terra Virtua, they were like, you know, we know an incubator and venture capital company that I think you should chat with. I was like, okay, cool. So spoke to SL2 Capital, and they have an incubator, they're a VC. And in the conversation, they were basically like, look, we have this project idea we've been pondering for some time now, which would be a next-gen crowdfunding platform specifically built for creators. We have a lot of the tech built. We have access to VCs and capital and everything that you would need. And we have basically everything, but the one thing that we're really missing at the moment is someone who has the background and understanding from the entertainment space and those relationships that know how to move around it. Would you be interested in coming on as a founder and helping lead this project? And this was February of this past year. And so the basic premise behind it was Terra Virtua had continuously been seeing how, while they were working with, you know, top artists and having conversations with the Boss Logics of the world, that they were getting a ton of applications from people who didn't have the marketing understanding or know-how. They didn't have the pre-existing relationships. They didn't have the money even, but these were really, really talented people. And it didn't seem like there was anywhere for them to go to be able to sort of have like a launch pad for their creativity. And it was sort of where the inception of the idea came from. And so for us, it's exactly that. It's a place you come to where it's a launch pad for creators, and you get to figure out whatever the project is, and similar to Kickstarter, where you'd be like, you know, I want to raise $5,000 for a mixtape, and these are the tiers of rewards that we're willing to offer. At the moment, we're not doing anything with like royalties or IP or anything like that, just because of the SEC not enjoying innovation. And so, you know, I want to raise $5,000 for this mixtape, and here's the different things. Like, you can be an executive producer on it. You can, you know, get mentioned in a song, whatever it would be, and you get to sort of raise against that. It's a little bit more complex than Kickstarter in that each creator actually has a creator token. So let's say Rizzle was launching a project, he would have the Rizzle token. And with the Rizzle token, he would say, you know, I'm looking to raise this much money. And so we would have an auto-generated number of tokens that work. And when Rizzle would launch his project, people would be able to invest using the Polycoin, which is ours, USDT or USDC. And based on the supply and demand, using this balancer that we have, the price of each Rizzle token would be working the same way like it would on Uniswap or just a DEX as a whole. And we just launched last week. We did one raise with a hip hop artist based out of New York, and he raised $5,000, and we're getting ready to start launching next projects now. But we really think that, you know, while there's going to be a lot to do and things to change, that this really can be a way that creators, honestly, top down and bottom up, can get access to global financing in an easy way to help launch their careers.
So I'm curious about the hip hop artists that you helped onboard. So for their particular project that they raised $5,000 for, like, what were they raising for specifically?
So he had a EP that just recently dropped, and part of it was just like, you know, having money to be able to do marketing. One of the things that's tough about the music industry is just people end up having to sign deals because they're not in a position to be able to do any sort of self-financing that would allow them to have leverage when they speak to record labels. And Jake James is his name. And he's based in Atlanta at the moment, but New York guy. And he's actually an investment banker by day, funny enough, at Bank of America, mm-hmm. and rapper by night. And just, I know it sounds ridiculous, but he's a good rapper. He's around like a lot of talented people in Atlanta at the moment. And he was honestly interested partially in like, let's figure out how to raise some money. I want to be able to NFT my project and like some other little things. But he was most interested in just how crypto and music and fan engagement and just what the next generation of that looks like and how it can come together. And so a bigger thing to him than getting the $5,000 was like, you know, I'll be one of the first hip hop artists who's ever crowdfunded like this. And so that was sort of the purpose of it.
Okay. And I'm kind of curious, because when you introduce that creator coin like token, it does mm-hmm. remind me a little bit of some of the social token plays that popped mm-hmm. up, like Tri-Roll, Rally. I'm curious, like, how do you see Polynet kind of differentiating itself from like a pure social token platform?
Yeah, absolutely. So the thing about, like, let's say that, you know, going back to the Rizzle token, is that the Rizzle token is something that is generated on platform and cannot ever be traded anywhere else. And so the only thing that you can do with it, once, let's say 1,000 Rizzle tokens get generated and all 1,000 Rizzle tokens end up being sold to different people who are helping finance this project, the only thing that you can do with the Rizzle token is burn them to be able to get access to claim the reward that you want. It's not something that, like, it's not an ERC-20 token that you would like send to a MetaMask wallet of like your Rizzle tokens, which is what social tokens are at the moment. This is very different in that, like, it's just an interesting way for you to be able to hold tokens so that you can claim your rewards. And so while it sounds like social tokens, it's not like them. It's like a one-time use only thing. You burn them, you get your reward, and then that's it.
Dude, it's interesting how that works, how it's sort of like a closed loop. So going with this example, I love this example, by the way, that with the Rizzle tokens. Like, let's say I do a successful round for my mixtape, which will never occur because I don't do anything in that industry at all, which I'm a huge fan of, but it's not my talent. Sure. So I sell 1,000 Rizzle tokens for the Rizzle mixtape. It goes viral and is a huge success. I'm going to do mixtape round two. What's the tokenomics of that like? Is that just now like Rizzle coin version two, or
basically? Yeah, it would just be launching. Yeah, it would just be launching just like another Rizzle coin, Rizzle token, whatever it would be. It wouldn't be like those first ones from that first project. They're just like you had a specific creator project. That one launched. Let's say like, you know, of the 1,000, you needed 100 to be able to set up a FaceTime with you, and you needed 50 to be mentioned in a song, whatever it would be. As those got burned and used, that would be it. Those are gone forever. You can't add to the supply. You know, if once they're sold out, you want to add a couple more, you can't do that. You would have to just go in and launch another project. And then for mixtape number two, you could do more tokens with different rewards, but those first ones would be gone.
So I'm trying to, and I think I understand, but I'm trying to understand like why, what the need is to like sort of cryptoify this like Kickstarter model. And I'm going to assume something along the lines of, so like, let's say again, just like rolling with this example, there's, you know, 1,000 Rizzle tokens. You got to hold like 10 of them to get like the golden mixtape or whatever. But then like people start speculating that this thing might be like worth more money. Like, is that where like the crypto comes into play? Then they can buy more poly because the, you know, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. So basically this, like, because it turns like the mixtape project that you would launch in this hypothetical scenario into a DEX, it's different than the Kickstarter, because in Kickstarter, it would be like, you know, I'm going to donate or put in $50, and that $50 is all I need to do. And that's just it across the board. And you say, we have 100 slots available at $50. And then someone puts in the money and they're guaranteed the thing. Whereas with this, let's say you were only looking to raise $5,000. If the supply and demand, once your project launches for the Rizzle token, is really high, because all of a sudden everyone goes, wait, I've heard Rizzle's singles before. This thing is going to pop. I want access to whatever it is. Yeah. So in that, for that reason, you might actually end up raising way more than the $5,000 that you wanted, because it's literally just acting as a DEX. Like when you go on Uniswap and everyone wants to buy the same coin at the same time. So it works the same way. And that's the purpose of cryptofying it.
So to play devil's advocate here, like heading forward, like a creator comes in and uses Pollinate to crowdfund a project or two. And then let's say that they pop, right? One of my like core theses that I've held is that for creators, especially folks that dabble in the arts, music, their creator coin really is NFTs and what they can use with them, like direct to the consumer, not like layering on these creator coins on top of that, obfuscating that sort of relationship. I'm curious, like when these artists pop, like is there any way or any incentive for them to maintain their relationship with Pollinate and like not just dip out and go mint NFTs direct to their audience that they've built up? I'm curious about
honestly not at the moment, not necessarily. They would end up being a positive case study for us in showing that this is a really interesting way to help empower creatives. And one of the things, at least for me personally, that's really fascinating about this model is that it helps the unbanked and the underbanked, where there's a lot of talent for things in South America, in Africa, in Southeast Asia. And there's still 2 billion people around the world who are unbanked or underbanked, and they would be able to potentially leapfrog from having no bank to having a crypto wallet where they can then do something like finance their creative. And if you're living in Brazil or Ghana, to raise $5,000 is worth way more than if you raise $5,000 in New Jersey. And so there wouldn't necessarily be an incentive for them to have to stick around. But it's an interesting thing for us where it's like, it's just a positive. One of the other things we're trying to do, or not trying, we have an incentive-based model when it comes to staking. A lot of people right now, you know, like you stake whichever coin it is, and you get some sort of like APY on it. And each month or each year, whatever it is, you're collecting your interest on staking your Ethereum, staking your Alto, whatever it is. And what we did was actually, we were like, you know, we want staking, but we think we could do something more interesting with staking than just simply giving people like something that would be inflationary for us. And while it would lock up the supply by having people stake coins, it would ultimately mess things up supply wise. Was, let's do staking so that, let's say you need 10,000 or 100,000 Poly coins to do staking on our platform. Then what it's going to give you instead of APY is, you know, we're working with creators. Why don't we have Rizzle give us 10 NFTs that he's created, and we're going to randomly be giving away to different stakers. So, you know, if you're from bronze to diamond tier, it gives you different access to different things. So one of the things we think is that as we make Pollinate more successful is being able to be part of Pollinate, to be able to have your NFTs or access to tickets or memorabilia or a variety of things be part of our staking platform is something that would end up being this really exclusive thing where it actually benefits you and helps you. So you want to be able to give your creative away using our staking mechanism. But that's definitely something we're still building out in real time.
I guess I'm trying to like put this in the context of like Matt's question too. Like if I'm trying to like understand like the overall angle of Pollinate, it seems like it's mostly to like cast a wide net rather than like try and like, you know, lock down some up and comers who are planning on sticking around forever. Like to your example, it seems like, you know, someone who's looking to do, who like lives in Jersey, who's looking to do a $100,000 raise probably doesn't need Pollinate for anything at that point. But a lot of people from a lot of places who need an onboarding platform and some exposure and a couple $1,000s, you know, might do very well on something like this and benefit from like, you know, getting rolled into the whole like ecosystem type of thing. Am I understanding it right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, at least at the moment, I don't foresee any reason that would tie people up or lock them into wanting to use the platform in that way if they're successful once, twice, or five times. I do think that in the future, as it is successful, like it becomes easier and easier. Let's say if you're Boss Logic, right, and you want to raise on the platform, like he's going to have an easy time being able to offer people incentives instead of like selling the pieces straight away. But it's not sure. Something where like, if we make the next Boss Logic, I think what's most interesting about this is, you know, if we're in a position where we create the next Boss Logics, then people start to come to the platform in a way where they're looking to do artist discovery the same way people are trying to do speculation on, is Shiba Inu going to be bigger than Doge on October 30th? And with that brings just an interesting way to continue to empower people, where people are trying to get access to creative rewards and be part of this platform where they can then help find who the next big people are. And we can help start creating that pipeline or that funnel of getting new people in there, as opposed to this system where, like, as much as we talk a lot, and I'd be curious what you guys think, but to me, as much as we talk a lot about how crypto is completely decentralized and it's a meritocracy, and like there's clicks, man. Like, and if you like have the ability to do the digging, there's a lot of places where you can look and be like, oh, you're a relationship of X or a relationship of X, and that's how things played out for you. Whereas this could be something that helps actually create a funnel of a bunch of completely new people.
I like this. And before we hopped on the call, like just thinking about the name Pollinate, like my first association was with like cross-pollinating. And I was like, oh, I wonder if this is more of like a platform play to connect like multiple creators. But at least in like the initial state, it definitely sounds like you're trying to find these undiscovered creators, this talent, and then pollinate their Genesis idea to kind of get them blooming out there and then hopefully seen by some other folks. And
yeah, man, 100%.
That's really, really cool. So, okay. And I do agree with that thesis as well. Like there's so much undiscovered talent, especially in countries that most people don't think of first or primarily. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, like, where you're focusing on in terms of trying to uncover new talent to bring them onto the platform.
Man, that's something where I'm honestly actively starting to sit and try to figure that out. When I look at our Telegram, there's people from sort of all over. There's a lot of Southeast Asia. One of the places I'm personally extremely intrigued is Africa. I have, in terms of advisors, a bunch of people from the African music scene who are very, very big in terms of the management and the executives, people who started record labels, people who manage artists like David O. Because I think that to be able to do things over there, especially with Afrobeats popping at the moment, is going to be super fascinating. I really love the idea of South America, though I have less relationships when it comes to that space. But I think South America is definitely going to be one of the places that, like, this really has the ability to do something. A lot of these places that, like, people aren't looking is where I think we're going to find definitely the most talent. But it's just going to be now figuring out how we specifically get to them. I think Southeast Asia and Africa are the two places where the focus would just be naturally, but looking to do it more all over as we go.
Dude, I'm also, you know, man, I'm a huge fan of just this whole angle and approach to empowering creators. Curious about, like, just the, you know, sort of bridging the gap between, like, okay, we found this cool talent in, like, a lot of these, like, you know, locations that have been historically overlooked. You know, once you onboard them, get them in there, like, do you then target that same area, you know, with the Pollinate token? Are you trying to bring them into the larger, like, crypto sphere? You know, I guess I'm just thinking, like, okay, you got all these people doing cool things, like, who is getting the coin where? And, you know, I guess on the buy, you know, or funding end of things, like, you know, who do you see being your most advantageous, you know, people to target? People from, like, their specific region, you know, industry, demographic, or, like, you know, bringing them into the larger crypto NFT fold, or some combination of those two things?
You know, it's something we've been thinking about and having conversations with. One of the things that's tough is to be able to make something popular very often, or at least from my understanding of it, you would use the West, which is why if you, like, look at our advisor list, like, we got people like Sam Felt, DJ Mick, like, people who were, like, the top in the West in their own categories. And so I think that that is where, at least speculatively, people who have the most money to be able to go on to be able to purchase coins and get involved in this are going to be sort of the most successful. And to make, like, it's a loose analogy and doesn't exactly work, but the same way that, like, we're seeing things play out with play to earn, which is there's people who around the globe are going to be able to get access to finance from people who, for the most part, are in the West that have access to pay for the things they need. So I think in terms of trying to target who's going to be buying the Poly coin on exchanges, I think it's going to end up being people sort of in the West in this way. But I absolutely would love for it to be the same people in the same places, because a big thing of mine is seeing, like, how do you, this leapfrogging idea is fascinating to me. I've been looking at how people in Afghanistan have been loading up on cryptocurrency because of the things that are going on. And it's women in particular who are doing it. And so I'm super into seeing how we would be able to help different places that aren't very enveloped in crypto at the moment to understand, like, here's how crypto wallet works and here's what you can do with it, and be able to help empower them, not just creatively, but to do something even more with it as we grow.
This may be, like, the way to do it, though, man. You know, I feel like some people, you know, need to see success stories that they can relate to, that, you know, are real to them. And so it's not like this, you know, obscure, strange internet thing. They, like, you know, actually know some people who know some people who, you know, did very well on a platform like Pollinate, and it, you know, was, you know, the springboard to their thing. So, dude, I love that mantra, man. And, you know, I think in a roundabout way, like, you know, maybe this can be, you know, that vehicle that, you know, brings crypto in a positive way to a lot of these places.
Yeah, man, that's one of the things that I'm really hoping for. One of the other advisors that we brought on is this woman, Bonnie, who has worked with, like, Leonardo DiCaprio when it comes to Blood Diamond, and George Clooney on, like, the stuff that he's done with, was the movie about Syria. And so she's been in the social impact space for years and years when it comes to sort of that entertainment world. And when I had spoken to her about this, what was fascinating was that she's a 57-year-old woman who like always is like, Azeem, like I'm a noob in tech. I know nothing about this. She calls herself a techno peasant is what she calls herself, like sort of as a joke. But when we sat down and started having a conversation about like, this is how the transparency of the blockchain works. And this is how smart contracts work in the fact that it guarantees things that are then verifiable afterwards, was that she went from in our earlier convos being like, crypto is this really shady thing that, you know, it looks really shady and the name is weird and, you know, illegal people use it for illegal transactions. And as we discussed it, she started being like, wait, like, this is actually a really, really good model for social impact and philanthropy in ways that the current systems don't allow. And so being able to, you know, it's a very big vision, but being able to figure out how to also help people see that crypto really can be a bright light for people around the globe is something that is important to me.
So I have like a more practical question now. So let's say that like listening to this podcast, someone around the world, a creator, and they're like, okay, yeah, like I definitely, this is the platform that I've been looking for, global access to folks with crypto, want to support like a new creator's idea. What do they do? How do they interact with the actual platform and product? Kind of walk us through.
Steps. I mean, right now they would just go to pollinate.io and they would register using either their MetaMask wallet or email, and they would go to launch a project. When doing so, they would get an initial creator form, which is a very, very like simple form of like name, you know, email, very simple, like project breakdown. It's just like a quick one pager that they would fill out. And then we'd take a look, we'd accept that. And then we would give them the opportunity to then after that, fill out what would be the more like intensive part of their application for being able to launch a project on Pollinate. We'd work with them on figuring out when would be a date that they could do so. We haven't figured out the part to fully decentralize this just yet. We're building, and this is on the developers to explain, but like specific things that would be like trust-based algorithms or something that we'd install so that we can take the admin side out of this for the most part from our hands so that we can call this fully decentralized in the future. But at the moment, yeah, it's really as simple as go to the website, register, and submit a form.
And then so beyond that, okay, I submit the form, you approve, Rizzlecoin mixtape. And so then I assume a lot of these people who are going to be applying and, you know, unless the idea is to, you know, go mostly crypto native at first, but some of these people are going to need some like handholding in terms of like, you know, what's a good amount of coins to do or like, you know, what's a good setup, or is that like sort of like an automated process or like, you know, once you get
a lot of that's like us manually working with people, man. I must have sent. I don't know, like I'm in DMs with like a ton of people right now having conversations with them about like, do this, do this, do that. Like we're probably going to be bringing on like support people for it. One of the things we did was instead of saying you want to launch, you know, 1,000 Rizzle tokens, at first we had it having people figuring out how many tokens they want. And then once we sent it to a couple creators, they were all like, I have no idea how to pick what the number of tokens should be because I have no idea how to peg the value of each token of the Rizzle token. And so we changed it to like, what's the dollar amount that you're looking to raise? And then we have us figuring out what makes sense on how many tokens there should be. So very much so figuring out a lot of this stuff in real time. And it's why I'm intrigued to have more creators come on board, because I think the way that especially blockchain devs, but devs as a whole, are going to build a product is going to be very mechanical as always is. And so as we speak with and work with more creators, I'm super fascinated by how we can change the user journey as a whole to match more of what works for them.
So like if we're bumping into some creators, is there a specific creative persona that you're looking for? Do you want to try to get as many hits on like as many different types of creators so you can take a lot of lessons learned across different industries? Like, how can we help you more?
You know, like, thank you, creators. Yeah, honestly, I think at the moment, as much as I'd like for it not to be the case, because I want it to be more broad ranging, is that I think crypto artists are going to be the ones who understand it first, because they'll know what MetaMask is, and they'll understand, because, you know, they would be sent everything in crypto. So I think it's something that the crypto artists are going to understand first, and then we'll be able to build a buzz with them. I'm personally looking a lot towards musicians, because musicians are hearing so much about how NFTs and crypto are going to change the game for them, even with like what Blau just launched with Royal. And so I think it's something where musicians are already a little bit primed for it. And I've had different management groups and record labels that I'm having conversations with where they're trying to understand how this works and all those kind of things. But I think it's going to end up being crypto native artists first. And, you know, in our roadmap, hopefully in the next few months, one of the things I'd really like to do to make it so that regular people can use it and simplify the product would even be like a simple fiat on ramp. But there's like no good APIs that I know of at the moment that you can do, like, you know, put your credit card info in, it'll buy you 100 USDT, which will then automatically fund the Rizzle token for Rizzle's mixtape. And so things like that to simplify the process over time. But right now, I think the people who will fund and the people who will start using it will probably be more crypto people.
Yeah, I have a feeling you're probably right, man. I mean, I think the barriers to entry are still steep enough that, you know, we're probably still, you know, swimming in our own pool for the most part as people slowly figure it out and trickle in. But I do think, you know, Matt and I run in enough circles and do enough things with these virtual events and everything and podcasts that I feel like a lot of people out there listening would really appreciate what you're doing and be very interested in checking it out and getting involved in everything. So I hope this reaches a lot of people, you know, who are able to take advantage of Pollinate and what you guys are doing out there. Dude, as a total aside, man, one of the things Matt and I love to do as we sort of get towards the end of the podcast is sort of like an intrusive, like, crypto wallet shakedown of our guests. And I'm just like genuinely curious, like, what NFT projects completely unrelated to your own or crypto projects you've been interested in or like checking out or like collecting on the side. What else is out there that you like right now?
Man, I haven't collected nearly as much as I should. One of the things, and since we're in like the intrusive phase of things, like I'm totally down for this, is because of crypto, I'm not in foreclosure anymore. I haven't actually ever talked about this publicly, but both my parents were quite sick, been quite sick for some time, bunch of things happened, but basically as a result, cash flow versus, you know, expenses didn't meet what needed to be paid for some time. And so my house was in foreclosure for a while. And because of crypto in this past year, I was able to get out of foreclosure. And so thank you. And so like now back in a place where like, you know, the house isn't fully paid off, but I can comfortably pay the bills every single month. You know, I'm not worried about like every single, like when you're broke, man, the worst thing is the mail, because like nothing ever comes in the mail unless it's like a bill. It's like a bill or garbage. So I'm not like scared of the mail anymore. And so a lot of moments when I was like, yo, like, a CryptoPunk would be like a smart thing to buy, or like, man, the Bored Ape stuff, like I can see this going somewhere. A lot of those moments, like I was just like, yo, I can't afford to put myself in a position where I'm spending this like speculative money, you know? And so there's way less that I actually currently own, but looking forward, I'm definitely more intrigued in being able to get involved with that. Like the Yondo project, Yondo Mondo. A friend of mine from high school recently just started, and actually after this call, I'm going to go mint it, but like I got the whitelist for that, go mint mine. And there's like things like that, that I'm interested in starting to do, but it's only because now I feel like I have the freedom to start doing it a little bit more.
Dude, what a great reason and a great story, man. It's so incredible to hear stories like that, you know, people that we've just sort of come up with within the space, like just starting to happen, like, you know, all over the place now, man. So that's what's up, man.
Thank you, Jay.
Yeah, seriously, powerful story. And well, I'm super happy that you can now put on your DGen hat and join us in the DGen circle.
Absolutely.
That's content almost. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, before we do sign off too, just want to make sure that you hit folks with all the social handles, websites, any upcoming dates or anything important that folks need to know about
Pollinate. Yeah. Before we leave. The Twitter handle is Pollinate with one L, Pollinate_IO. The Instagram is Pollinate.IO. And I'd say those are honestly the two main channels. We use Twitter more than anything. The website is Pollinate.IO. Anyone can reach me on Instagram or Twitter at AZEEMK_. That's my handle. I have open DMs, respond to everybody. So like anybody can hit me up as well if they want to even just get on like a one-on-one or chat about it, ask questions, whatever it would be. Super hands-on with everything. So I'd say those would be the most relevant ones.
Love it, man. Well, great conversation, Azeem. Really loved digging into your background in particular, but also what you're building out in your vision for Pollinate. Really exciting stuff. Really looking forward to checking in the future, getting a progress report.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just getting started. But thank you so
absolutely.
Much.
Absolutely. For jumping thank on you. The show. Thank you both.
Yeah. Thank you, man. It was great.